What's going on, Laker fans? D-Mac here. We're back with another episode of the Lakers 24-8 podcast, reacting to the Lakers game one win against the Memphis Grizzlies. Lakers take game one by a final score of 128-112, getting a big road dub, stealing home court advantage. And as always, I'm joined by my guys, Mr. Noah Cambris, Mr. Noel Sanchez. And guys, let's get right into it. Yes. First, I'm going to start with you, Noah. What were your initial impressions of the game, how the Lakers came out? And one of the big takeaways is the fact that they win that game, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they're the number 3 and 4 scorers. Yep. You had Rui, you had Austin Reeves. How big is that moving forward in this series?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that was a great all-around game by the Lakers. They never really like went down by too much. Like, there are a lot of games where they go down big, they claw their way back. This was not one of those games. They were in it the whole time. They had some big leads. They squandered them. But for the most part, they were in this game all 48 minutes. There was never a time where Lakers were like, here we go again. This is the end. This is the run. So they played a great game overall. And like you said, the biggest thing was not having LeBron and AD carry the load. I mean, Rui Hachimura had his best game as a Laker. Austin Reeves had in his playoff debut one of his best games of the year, and he's had a lot of great ones. And there was just a lot of help all around, and it just showed the depth of this Lakers team. Now, you don't need LeBron and AD to dominate, although AD did dominate in the paint as we wanted him to do. He was a beast. He was a menace. But it was not the LeBron and AD show. It was the Austin Reeves show. It was the Rui Hachimura show. And then it was LeBron and AD doing what they need to do. And that's a recipe for success.
Yeah, and Noel, I mean, when you watch this game, you see LeBron James come out like he does. He's not always the best game one player. He kind of feels things out. Of course, he had 51 points in game one of the 2018 finals. But to me, he's more of a Floyd Mayweather than a Mike Tyson. The way he feels out series. Yep. What was your thoughts on LeBron James? We're going to start with LBJ. We're going to throw out some grades, but what did you see from LeBron in game one?
I mean, even though it wasn't a huge impact scoring level, he was still out there playing defense, making sure the ball was moving really well, and just trusting in his teammates at the end of the game, man. Like, it was beautiful to see our young bucks actually just go out there and really perform like they were stars. You saw Austin Reeves out there asking for the ball at the end of the game, and LeBron being okay with it. You saw him finding Rui in those spots, and like we said, he's going to get those shots all series long. LeBron is one of the best passers in the game. He's basically a point guard at this rate, and just every time he drives in and draws those double and even triple teams, Rui's going to be there. And you know, the Grizzlies were obviously letting him take those shots, so LeBron's going to keep hitting him. He trusts in his guys. And Austin Reeves at the end of the game just taking on what those shots that LeBron would have took. I just love that LeBron locked in on what he needed to do, and he wasn't trying to do too much. He didn't go to his signature little step back threes at the end.
Thank God.
Yeah, he just he let his young bucks do his thing. He was still a leader by example, and you know, in the post game, he was recalling like 10 different possessions from the game. His like IQ for the game is just insane. His memory, and he's gonna have his dominant games. He's gonna go for some 30-40 point games, 40 point triple doubles, but he's laying back right now, still getting his foot back into shape, so it was really good to see.
Yeah, no, his recall is uncanny. I like what you said right there about the trust, because that was the word that he used after the game, trusting in my guys. And when he's instilling this confidence in guys like Rui Hachimura, and I thought it was funny when he was saying how he knew that Austin Reeves was gonna be an NBA player.
He knew what he was doing with that.
Well, now he knows. LeBron knows about the meme. He knows about all the jokes.
And he doesn't smile while he says it.
He's a good actor. We've seen LeBron act. He's not a bad actor. Space Jam 2. Right. Hey, Trainwreck was good. Trainwreck. LeBron was good in Trainwreck. I'll remember that one. But no.
If you heard him, I'll kill you. Yeah, Trainwreck was a great movie.
Well, I guess he remembers the whole movie by heart.
So, no.
He's really LeBron out here. He's remembering everything.
When it comes to LeBron James, though, I think one of the biggest takeaways for me was that is why I truly believe, like a few weeks ago, I wouldn't have this take, but after seeing game one, I believe this team can win a championship because they don't need LeBron James to do it every single night. There's this theory when it comes to seven game series in the 2-2-1-1-1 format is that you get two games from your superstars and a couple games from your role players. Mm-hmm. And last night was the role player win for the Lakers. If you look at LeBron's night though, 21 points on 8 of 16 shooting, 3 for 8 from beyond the arc. Those turnovers definitely were costly. Yeah, some of those ill-advised threes kind of hurt momentum there in the second quarter. But one thing I looked at when I saw LeBron is he is a mismatch for some of these Grizzlies players low, and he's wearing them down. And I think you saw D'Angelo Russell. He recognized some of those mismatches. They went to him. He got an easy bucket. So, yeah, I thought also he was active on defense.
Did he have 5 stocks? Was it 2 or 3?
5 stocks for LeBron. He had 3 blocks and 2 steals.
He was everywhere, and he had 2 chase down blocks. He was just kind of a menace on defense, and I mean, the big thing that people like to say about LeBron this year, especially last year, I mean, like, he wasn't playing defense. Yeah. He wasn't putting the energy.
And that chase down really set the tone.
He set the tone. Yeah, absolutely. And he had two of them that he was like, and then you see him coming. Like, you feel
it. Iguodala was having flashbacks.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I mean, there were two PTSD blocked right by there. James. And, like, you see them coming. You see LeBron coming down the lane. You're like, you know he's going to swat this ball. And, like, yeah, it's momentum stuff. Yeah. It's like, if our 38-year-old
leader, the young guys are going to turn up. Like, Roy can't have no energy after that.
Like, there's no way, like, the sub-30 guys on this team, Austin Reeves, like, what, like 25? Like, there's no way he can't play hard when LeBron at 38 years old is running 90 feet and chasing down, like, the running Grizzlies. I mean, like, that's huge.
Yeah, no, I think you make a great point there in that the fact that he's getting blocks, he's setting the tone with steals, also got some big rebounds. Mm-hmm. Also, too, when Rui's out there in the center position, we know what LeBron can do defensively. So, my grade for LeBron for the first game, I'm going to give him a solid B+. That's a solid B+ because of the way he went out there, trust his teammates. He did what was asked for him. He didn't force the issue. Exactly. He's content. He knows that when it becomes time for the NBA Finals, that is when he's going to empty the tank. Right? He'll be ready for them then. But what is your grade for LeBron, Noah?
I mean, I don't have to say too much. Mine was a B+ as well. Like you said, he let the game come to him. He didn't force anything. He played great defense. And here's the thing. If the Lakers lose this game, LeBron gets the blame for only having 22 points on 8 of 16. Yeah. But the fact that they win by 16 and he let Austin Reeves be him in crunch time, and that was the best option for the Lakers. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. B+. And honestly, he has a lot of room to improve, which is even better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And how about your grade for?
I'd say B+. Even like A- just based on the fact that he's just still getting his feet warm, and that just too. Still like an average game for LeBron is like a really good game. Yeah. So many other people.
He's got a double-double at 20 points, and we're like, oh, bad game.
There's people that like come into the playoffs and like they're terrified, but he's been doing this for so long. I saw he has like, I think it was like 76 playoff series to his name.
Incredible.
I think it was something like that.
He's been in the finals more than
a couple
than
more finals appearances. He'll tie the Golden State Warriors. Also, one little thing I'll give him credit for too is lots of Laker fans in the house. It was great to see that Memphis crowd filing out early, but a lot of those Laker fans, they were LeBron fans.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you saw St. Vincent, St. Mary's jerseys. How about the dude with the triple jersey?
Yeah, that was
Cleveland,
really cool.
The Heat, the Lakers. I mean, that would look like trash, but still, I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it looked cool though. I mean, a lot of effort. They need the effort, but I wouldn't rock it. Not my taste. But
are you gonna say it's cool? They call it trash.
Triple jersey. It was trash.
No, I'm just messing with that. That was fire. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, I mean,
that guy's probably watching.
I liked it.
He's probably watching.
Okay, so we're going to switch gears to the other superstar in Anthony Davis. Yeah. So to me, he was the player of the game for the Lakers, even though he wasn't the high scorer. If you look at his numbers, 22 points on 10 of 17 shooting, 12 boards, 3 assists, 7 blocks, 3 steals, 10 stocks. I mean, was he playing on Wall Street with how many stocks he had? I mean, he was unbelievable out there, an absolute force on defense, set the tone early with the block shots, altering shot after shot. Noah, what'd you like from AD's game yesterday?
Exactly what you said. That's what we said before the game. The key to this game was Anthony Davis dominating the paint. Jaren Jackson's going to get his stock numbers. He's an incredible defender. He just won DPOY literally right before we started filming this. But Anthony Davis is bigger than him. He's bigger than Xavier Tillman, and he should dominate the paint. He did that on the offensive end. He got some offensive rebounds. He got a lot of defensive rebounds. And then on defense, man, I mean, yeah, he had 10 stocks, 7 blocks. He altered more shots than that, too. I mean, it was like almost impossible for the Grizzlies to score in the paint when Anthony Davis was there. And that is all you can ask for. Yes, he had that little injury scare. Thank goodness.
I know your heart dropped.
Everyone's heart. The entire Laker fan base, like, are you kidding me? Thank goodness. I mean, when he said my arm can't move, I'm like, all right, season over.
Yeah.
But thank God he came back in. And I mean, the number I hone in on is 7 blocks. I mean, that is.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy.
I mean, it's insane. Yeah. 7 blocks in a playoff game. I mean, it's insane.
No, defensively, the versatility he showed, I think this is a big legacy playoffs for him. I mean, if he goes wire to wire and he plays like a beast like he's capable of, this is going to change the narrative on him forever. Mm-hmm. A couple things I really liked, though, was when they were doubling him, you saw some of those actions at the top of the key, freeing him up, getting him downhill, getting some transition dunks. I like that leak out dunk he got in. Mm-hmm. But, Noel, one thing I want to ask you about is they were plus 27 with AD out there. So they were a minus 11 without him. What do the Lakers need to do when he's off the court to be able to tread water and wait for him to get back in the game?
I mean, it's super tough, you know, to kind of replace the talent like AD. We obviously see what he brings on both ends of the floor. So I mean, they just got to be able to just hold on to their lead whenever he's out. He's going to bring what he does. But, I mean, like you said, having Roy out there, it's just a whole different game when he's at center. LeBron's able to get in there and able to help out a little bit. You have other guys, like if Wenyan is able to get some more run, he could come up huge. I think it's just a matter of being smart with your timing of the blocks, because Jaren Jackson, he's going to run that pick and roll action with Jaws out now. But if he runs it with Desmond Bane or whoever can get to the paint, I think just a matter of being smart with your fouls. If you need to use them, because obviously they're part of the game. But you just got to be able to just stay composed while AD's not there and still get buckets on the board. I think that's the most important thing. Can't let these Grizzlies, these young guys, go on these huge runs. And yeah, just protecting the paint at all costs. I mean, if anything, I'll let them see what they can give you from the three-point line. Just don't let Jaren Jackson get going.
Yeah, I like that. And that's a great point. It's just if you can limit Jaren Jackson, especially if John Morant is going to be limited this series, that's going to be huge. But before we move on, what is your grade for AD for game one, Noel?
I'm going to get A easy. I mean, just that injury scare makes me want to drop it a little bit to an A-minus just because he scared all of us. But, I mean, he came back into a care of business. He made his presence felt early. And we've been talking about it ever since the first episode of this roundtable this season. Like, he needs to show what he can do. He needs to show that he can take that torch from LeBron. And, I mean, he's showing it. Like, not just offensively. If he has Austin Reeves and Roy Hachimura giving him help, he's not going to have to do too much. But just make sure that nobody can come into the paint and claim it's theirs. Like, it's all his for the rest of the playoffs.
So we got an A from Noah. How about you, Noah?
Yeah, it's an A. That if he didn't have seven blocks, I'd probably put it at an A minus. But that defense, the energy, the effort.
That's DPOY right there. I know Jaren Jackson just won it.
DPOY right there. He's in the A.
Yeah, I know. He said brow down to the Grizzlies yesterday. I mean, he was outstanding. But next, we got to talk about Noel's BFF, his man crush, D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo got off to a rocky start yesterday, but ended up with 19 points, 7 of 17 shooting, 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, 7 dimes, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, a plus 20 overall in the game. Now, he did miss some early shots early on. Yeah. But it did hit some big threes. Yeah. Also fed Rui for some of those threes. Yeah. What did you like about his game yesterday? But also, where do you want to see him improve moving forward?
I mean, yeah, the beginning had me a little scared. I don't know if you guys saw, but he hesitated so hard on one of his early shots. I'm like, we just talking about having confidence and, you know, getting that shot going early. But it's like, I think in this series, he was able to kind of figure out that, hey, when my shot isn't there, I'm going to find everybody else. And I think Rui doesn't have as big of a game as he does if it's not for D'Lo. D'Lo's that natural point guard. He knows where his teammates are going to be. And he was talking about training camp, but just the more games that he gets with these guys, he's going to be able to know where their sweet spots are, where those hot spots are going to be for them. So I really like what I saw out of him. I think he's going to be huge coming up in the series. And the announcers made a good point too, that in the last game he played bad against Timberwolves. Obviously that's his old team. They know his tendencies and there's a little bit of nerves coming into it, but I really like what I saw from him. And I think this, like you were saying, this is the D'Lo that we need for the rest of the playoffs. This is D'Lo that's going to win us a championship.
Yeah. I think he's just got to settle down, realize that he's not expected to be a superstar. I like when he started to play the mid-range game a little more there, trying to get some penetration. I think there was some over-penetrating at times, but still, he did settle down. And the biggest key, too, the turnover numbers still low, didn't issue a lot of fouls. Yeah. But also, too, with him is, look, 19 points. I mean, 19 points in the game. You got to feel good about that. Yeah. But how did you feel about D'Lo's game, Noah?
Yeah, I mean, you take out the first quarter, he had a really solid game. Like Noel said, when he got off of that slow start, I was like, here we go again. Playoff D'Lo, the narrative's back. But no, he ended up having a really solid game. I think he played with a lot more confidence in the second half. Maybe Darvin Ham said something to him. Maybe he just kind of shook it off, whatever it was. He had a really solid second half. And even if he didn't shoot well, same thing. So against the Timberwolves, he had 8 assists, 1 turnover. Yesterday, or whatever, in the game one, 7 assists, 2 turnovers. So he really is still playing the point guard position very well. But this time, he also got his shot going. As long as his shot stays semi-consistent, like around 40%, that's really all the Lakers need for him. You don't need him to score. Like you said, don't even get 30 points a game. 19 is perfect. 15 is perfect. Anything in that range, just making sure that the defense can't sag off of you is kind of all you need from your point guard, especially when you have so many other scores. So I think he was solid. Yeah.
And also real quick, I know that Dennis Schroeder was the one who was like the talk of town last game. And he's the one that took D'Lo's minutes, but this time it was D'Lo getting those minutes down the stretch.
Yeah, he took him back.
Yeah. And then like everybody was saying, like, that's what you need from a championship team. Like, you're going to help your team win even if you're not in the game. So it's just great. A little thing that is going to go a long way for the Lakers.
Yeah. And he's going to have a big game at some point in the playoff. He's going to have like one of those like high scoring games.
Oh yeah. Like 30.
Yeah. He's going to do it. Hopefully.
I'm not ready to say that.
I mean, I think he's going to get a shot going, but I'm very satisfied if he continues to just go like 14-7.
Yeah, and what you guys have been alluding to, though, is he doesn't hurt the team when he's not effective. I mean, you don't see the big turnover numbers like we saw with Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. He's still playmaking. He's still a net positive player out there.
From your point guard, especially when your point guard is surrounded by 420-point scorers.
Yep.
I mean, That's all you need. Is just find the open guys. And if your shot's falling, then it's game over. Yeah. And if it's not falling, perfect. Just keep finding the open men. You got four guys who each got 20 points or more. So.
And they're not going to sag on him. He's still dealing.
No, they're not going to, but
that's the good thing.
He's going to see defenses honest.
Yeah. Which is also what you want.
That's the good thing. Yeah.
It's a perfect fit as long as he's not shooting as poorly as he was against the Timberwolves.
Yeah. And like I said, 19 points. Had he scored one more point, the Lakers would have had five players with 20 points. It was the first time since Magic, Kareem, Byron Scott, James Worthy did it in the 80s. So
that's some good company.
So my grade for D'Angelo Russell, I have to give him a B minus. I'll give him
a B minus. All right,
you know though, I'm a hard look. You know I'm hard on D'Lo. Yeah. I'll just keep with that narrative. I'll say C plus.
I'm giving him a B minus because of how if he continued to shoot poorly, it'd be lower. But how he kind of evolved his game, and think about it, he had two turnovers. He had seven assists. He let the game come to him after he missed a few open looks in the beginning. He stopped forcing it. It showed maturity, so that's why I'm gonna be mine.
No, with a lot of room to improve.
You can't include the outfit he walked in, how he looked. You can't include the mug of him drinking out of himself.
Now that was a couple of days ago. The braids were looking fresh, but I'll take that out. But I give him B just for being able to adapt to the situation and all that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So next, let's talk about the stars of the game. Austin Reeves. LeBron James. What did Shannon Sharp say? Country Kobe. You see that?
I did see that.
On his Twitter. 23 points on 8 of 13, shooting 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. Four dimes, 3 boards, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 foul in 31 minutes, a plus 15, and 14 points in the fourth quarter. How about this?
Mr. Clutch.
I like how Dame Lillard, he tweeted out, my bad, Reeves. Like that.
Reeves like
everybody. I feel like the whole NBA
community. The entire
community,
NBA world was tweeting about Austin Reeves. It was insane.
Yeah, no, he was the closer. I mean, like I said, I've seen more of the Ginobili comparisons. You saw that in this one, the herky jerky top of the key. But do you think this is sustainable? Remember my bold prediction? I said one game he's going to score 30. Yeah. So I was actually rooting for this game to get into overtime, but now I'm just playing. But what were your thoughts on Reeves, and do you think he can sustain this for the entire series?
Perfect game from Austin Reeves. Yes, he can sustain it. Ooh. We've seen it all year long. It's not like this is like a breakout game. We've seen this all year long. Laker fans have been watching all games. This is normal Austin Reeves. Like, yeah, the fact that he did it on the playoff stage in game one in Memphis, insane. Like, maybe you didn't see this coming, but we all know Austin Reeves has this in him. This is his normal style of play. He's been him all year long. I said he's one of the best scorers on this team. I said earlier this year he might be the best one-on-one go-to scorer when you need a bucket. He proved that in the fourth quarter. LeBron James and Anthony Davis were giving him the ball in the fourth quarter. This is sustainable. He's going to be one of the go-to guys in the clutch. An A for Austin Reeves. Ooh. A for Austin. And he's going to keep doing this all series long. This is Austin Reeves. This is him. He's him.
All I'm saying is this offseason, I'm buying all the Sincero tequila I can, because they're going to have to pay this man. Thankfully, they have the restriction rights on him. They're going to have to pay this guy. Find some money under the couches. I don't care what it takes. Yeah. Keep him in LA. But my grade, I'm going to go A+ for Austin Reeves. A+, that 14 points in the fourth quarter. The step back. How about the sweep behind the back to where we had Chimura?
Beautiful.
I mean, it was beautiful, but you're great for Austin Reeves.
That play was the highlight of the game, and it's an A for me as well. I think every Laker fan has to be out there giving him an A for this performance. I'm not sure if he saw that Twitter thread that's been going around about the biggest I'm him moment, because he capped it off. Like, that's the one right there, man. Like, it's just the poise, the confidence, the willingness to even pass down the stretch when he's hot. Like, that behind the back to his other teammate that was going crazy, that play is going to be remembered by Laker fans for a long time if we win a championship. And he's gonna keep doing this. This is just who he is at this point. He wants to win a championship, he wants to get paid, and he wants to be a Laker for life.
He's barbershop certified now, just like Steve Nash, Luka Doncic. That is a thing, trust me, look it up. He's barbershop certified.
Look it up. I'm gonna look that
okay
up.
Look it up. So last player we're gonna get there on a grade on is Rui Hachimura. Rui Hachimura, your best friend, 29 points on 11 of 14 shooting, 5 of 6 from 3. He was fantastic from beyond the arc. 6 boards, 1 dime, a plus 12. I mean, most points off the Lakers bench, tying Michael Thompson, he had in the first round, 1980 against the Spurs. But what were your thoughts on Rui Hachimura? I mean, do we have to fill out our apology forms?
This is an A+. I mean, this is an A+ performance. This is peak Rui Hachimura. He played the best basketball he could play. Yeah. 11 for 14, 5 for 6 from deep. He was hitting his 3, something he struggled with all year. He was big in the paint. lane. He was big in the, I mean, this is peak Rui Hachimura, and this is what you want to see from a role player who turned into a star in game one. I mean, that, I mean, this is such an awesome performance. Yes, I do owe an apology. But then again, I didn't say that he was bad. I just said he was struggling early in the year, which was a fact. And I said, I want to see more from him. We saw more from him. This was an incredible, incredible performance. A++. Hopefully he can continue to shoot the way he shot back
in. Yeah, what I always say is prove me wrong, right? Yeah, prove me wrong. He proved me wrong and I love it. Yeah, exactly.
I loved it.
And I want to go to you because I think one thing he does is he allows you to play that pure five-out style. Exactly. Really stretch the floor. Yeah. I like when they came up on him. He threw one down on Triple J. You saw him making those threes. Phil Handy has been working with him exclusively. He's got more arc in that three-point shot. But what does he bring as far as his offensive dynamic, what he does for this Lakers offense, how he allows them to really switch things up?
The potential has always been there with Roy, man. Like, you know, his build, his physique, the way he's able to shoot, the way he finds his mid-range shots. And we saw it on just, like, the best possible outcome it could have been this past game. He's hitting shots. He's shooting with confidence. He hit that one, and then he just yelled. Like, you just tell how happy it was to be on the stage. I mean, he's been with the Wizards his entire career, and just, you know, it's a lot of dysfunction in certain organizations. And the same could be said about Lakers. I'm not saying that our franchise is perfect. We all know the struggles we've gone through these past 2 years. So, I mean, just him touching down in LA, it just feels like it was the best thing for his career. And he struggled early on, but like anything else, when you come into a new team, a new system, it's a little rusty at first, but Phil Handy has worked wonderful with that jump shot. He's really unlocked the player that I think Rui could be. And I mean, I really think that at his peak, he could probably be like the third best scorer for the Lakers. Yeah. He has such like a unique game, and for his size, that five out offense is beautiful.
All right, Noel, so you're great for Rui?
A+. That's
like a perfect game for him. People on Twitter call him Baby Kawhi, Mini Kawhi.
I've been said it.
If he's playing like that,
you gotta start trademarking stuff, bro. Get past
that. Baby Kawhi. Okay. Without the handle. He doesn't have the same handles that Kawhi has. But like,
when he goes for 38,
it's a little longer, too. It's a little bigger, too. A little longer.
Yeah, but I mean, that jump shot, that is Baby Kawhi-esque sometimes.
Yeah, and also think, too, you gotta give a lot of credit to this Lakers coaching staff for giving the confidence.
Yeah, I mean, he said that. And he didn't have confidence in Washington. Here's the thing. People are like, how did you possibly DNP room? I think that helped Rui's confidence a little bit. Like, okay,
you gotta humble them sometimes.
Yeah, I gotta be better. Like, I'm not playing as well as I should be. I have more potential. And he took that. He used it, and now he's playing the best basketball of his career. So really awesome stuff all around. Really happy for
him. And that's just so key. And I think just to kind of wrap this segment up is that they have different guys that can step up, and they're role players. Schroeder stepped up in the play-in. We saw Reeves. We saw Hachimura yesterday, too.
Still win on Beasley.
I think the defensive effort was just not there for Beasley. But, you have guys that can definitely step up, and that is what is key to a championship run. Let's hope we see another guy be that guy on Wednesday. But
sorry, I want to ask you guys one quick question. Do you think this is the best team LeBron and AD have had? Do you think this one's better than the 2021? Because I do. I think the role players on this team makes it better than the 2020.
It's tough because you don't see a full season of it.
Exactly, yeah.
And Caruso defensively was so good. I mean, even McGee, I mean, Dwight, the way they were able to
Kuzma
play.
Kuzma stretching the floor.
And also Frank Vogel's system, the way they were able to blitz pick and rolls, didn't play a lot of drop coverage. But I think, though, it has the potential to be. I think the ceiling is higher for this team because Austin Reeves is better than Alex Caruso as a pure scorer. We know he can lock up on defense, too.
Hachimura's playing this way. He's better than Kuzma, in my opinion, that year.
Yeah, there's a reason one guy was a number 9 pick and one guy was a late round pick. I think Kuzma definitely from a shooter is going to be a little more consistent, but we'll see. At the bottom line, the difference there is you had a younger LeBron and a younger AD, and you had 3 months off.
But that's why I said the team around.
But the team around him, I think the supporting cast definitely has the potential. To me, the big X factor there is Cam Malik Beasley consistently knocked down
threes. We had KCP, KCP.
But also, he was underrated defensively, hit big shots.
Yeah, but also, you guys, you didn't even mention D'Angelo Russell when talking about the comparisons. D'Angelo Russell's, I think, better than anyone else on that 2020.
Yeah, what was it, Rondo point guard?
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell is better than every other supporting piece on that 2020
team. That team was just so gritty, though.
Well, it was, and they had great chemistry, but this team has the chemistry, too.
No, I agree with you. This team has the potential to be better.
It could be a topic for another conversation. Yeah. I'm just curious what you guys think, because I think it's better.
Yeah.
At least it can be.
It can be. No, potential-wise,
I'm still in wait-and-see mode to see if the chemistry is there.
It's early.
But I think definitely has the potential to be. But last one here, is this series over? Okay, John Morant, he hurts his hand. He could be out of ammo. I mean, he kind of hurt that trigger finger there. Do you think that he's going to be able to come back and be effective? And even if he is, you still see the loss of Steven Adams. I mean, they're still down with some guys. I mean, is this series over? I think you punch him in the mouth early. I had Lakers in 5. Yeah. I still feel good about that, but maybe is it Lakers in 4? I mean, what are your thoughts? Is this series over?
Here's the thing. Over is an interesting word because we all picked the Lakers to win the series anyway. Yeah. Like, it's not like this is now a huge
change. Now we're winning it because
of the
injury.
Yeah, it's like I already thought the Lakers were going to win this series. I had him in 6 at first. Maybe it's going to be 5 now. I mean, so is the series over? In my opinion, the Lakers had the series series anyway. So call it over is just, I mean, no, it's not over. I mean, Tyus Jones is, in my opinion, the best backup point guard in the league. Yeah. And he started 22 games this year.
After Jagger,
yeah, he started 22 games this year. He scored, averaged 16.4 points, 8.1 assists, 4 rebounds. I mean, he puts up numbers. So he's a great backup point guard. It's not like they're going to, I mean, they're going to miss draw, of course, but like he's at least fills in nicely. But the fact that we already thought the Lakers were going to win this series anyway, yeah, if their superstar's not on the court, it's going to be a little easier too. Sounds like he's not going to play game two. Maybe he'll be back game three, but yeah, the only thing I think it changes is now it might be Lakers in five, yeah, Lakers in six. Yeah.
How about you, White Pill?
Nah, same here. I think losing Ja is a freaking humongous blow, you know? Obviously, he's one of the most talented players in the game, and we even see what he was doing in the fast breaks. Like, there's times where Lakers just can't stop him, so losing him is going to be huge, but you're going to have Desmond Bane and Tyus Jones obviously stepping up. Tyus Jones reminds me a lot of Malcolm Brogdon, honestly. I feel like those two guys are two of the best off the bench, but and I still think, I think I originally had it in seven just because I really respect what Ja brings, and I think he's really generational, but I can see it now ending around five or six, just, you know, losing, you can't really replace a guy like Ja.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a must-win for Memphis in game two. They absolutely have to win that game. But we've seen this Lakers team make things interesting. We've seen, especially on the road. But this Lakers crowd is going to be electric. Really, the first time since 2011. Yep. You're going to get a Laker.
3,500 days or something.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that tweet from you. I know you're going to bring it.
It's cooking.
That tweet's in the draft.
That is going to do it, apparently, for this episode of the Lakers 24-8 podcast. So Joe, be sure to follow my man, Mr. Noah Cameras, at Noah Cameras. If you're not reading Noah Cameras at all Lakers, you're not doing this You're Laker fan thing right. So Sports Illustrated Lakers expert Mr. Noah Cameras, and also to my right, Noel
he brings
Sanchez.
A fire content.
He brings that fire content.
And he brings
Young Lotto, Young Lottery pick right here.
Young Lotto.
Be sure to follow him. And yeah, guys, give us your takes down below. Is this series over? Do you think the Lakers can sweep the Grizzlies now? Let us know. Bring that ice. Big win for the Lakers in game one. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @DMAC_lay. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, be sure to hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit those likes, and also there's a parade inside my city.
And go Lakers.
And go Lakers.
Go Lakers.
Margot felt quite exquisite as she dipped her fries in mayo, gracefully extending her pinky to the sky. See, she had just saved by getting Cox Mobile for her family. Yes, more lines, more savings, Margot. Brilliant. She finished her cherry slush drink with a triumphant exquisite indeed. Visit a Cox store and pay as low as $30 a line for four or more unlimited lines. Four lines required for $30 per line price, max of five lines. Prices exclude taxes, device activation and other fees and charges. Other restrictions apply.